Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm taking your calls and talking all things sex and relationships. Topics include New Year's resolutions to discover your new sexual self, why taking time after a breakup is crucial for your sexual and mental health, how to finally get the message across to your partner that you really need that foreplay and it ain't no joke, why it's better to cut ties than to hope you can change someone, and how to confidently get back into the dating game after a long-term relationship. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to our website, sexwithemily.com. Check out all the content we put up every day, blogs, videos, posts, the podcasts are all there. You can easily subscribe. And we're also on social media. I know you are. Check us out at Sex with Emily on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter. So happy new year, everyone. It's a new year. And we've got some things to cover to set you off on the right foot. But first, I want to mention that in case you missed this, as of January, California became the first state in the United States to allow a non-binary gender on birth certificates and the second to offer it on driver's license. So people who aren't easily defined as male or female will finally be recognized for who they are on their legal documents, which is a big step forward for California and the nation. And this reminded me of an awesome podcast I did that you will enjoy back in October. I hosted a roundtable podcast, and we focused on gender fluidity and what this means, what pronouns to use, challenges they face, dating stories. It's really entertaining and educational and a good time. We had some great guests. Check it out. It's called Go With the Gender Flow. Okay, so since it's New Year's, I know that you're probably... maybe you're thinking about New Year's resolutions. I'm not a huge fan of like those resolutions where you set the bar really high and you're like, I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to meditate, you know, every day, and I'm going to call my mom once a week, and all these things that are like so set in stone that I feel like we just set ourselves up for failure. At least I have. I set the bar so high. I mean, there's no way we're going to do anything like that every single day. And so I think that we have to, you know, be realistic and try to make progress, you know, where we can. Even if it's weekly, we're making little steps forward. In a year from now, that's going to be a lot of progress. So that's why I was never about the like black and white, like quit this or do this. But I have to say, when it comes to relationships and sex, this is a good time of year to kind of be evaluating where you're at in a relationship and where you want to go. So I'm going to give you a few ideas here. Let them sink in. Think about it. I think some are going to resonate with you. And these changes are little things that you can do, and they'll make a huge difference. So these are my thoughts about some things to consider this year. The first thing is to resolve conflicts in the relationship. When I say conflicts, you know, usually when I hear the word conflict, I think, oh, we had a huge knockdown, drag out fight. But like, what about your partner leaving the dishes in the sink? That can be annoying. That can be a conflict, especially if it happens all the time. And you've told them all the time, like, really? Is that your fork? Because that's not my fork. And it's still there. And it drives you crazy. But you don't say anything. Does that ever happen to you? And then like 6 months go by and there's probably been other things too, right? Like borrowed your car, didn't fill it with gas, you know, stole your iPhone charger. And these annoyances, they build up and they create this like arsenal of resentment. And you just want to blow up your partner. And two of the biggest killers of our sex drives and our relationships are resentments, when we have resentments and we withhold things from our partners. So I would like you to think about this year. If you have something that's going on with your partner, a gripe or a concern, make it a goal to resolve these conflicts as soon as they happen. Now, this is a practice. Like, it might not happen the first few times. Like, you might even go home after hearing this tonight and be like, that goddamn dish, and then get on your phone or leave the house and not say anything, because it's not easy. The reason why we have to remind ourselves to actually have confrontations with our partner and have discussions is because it's not easy to do. And we think it's so much easier to avoid until it's not and it blows up. So in the moment, take this opportunity to decide. You can even talk to your partner about it and say, you know what? I don't want to blame. I don't want to shame. Let's just try to talk about things. I won't be mad, you know, if you have to bring things up, and let's try to move past it, because I promise you they will build up over time. And so once you kind of nip them when they're like coming up in the moment, it will make it for a much more peaceful 2018 to resolve these conflicts. The other thing to think about is expressing more gratitude. So while you might be very distracted by the dishes piling up in the sink and the late fee on the, you know, on the bills that you're paying together, or partner saying he's going to bring you dinner and doesn't. Truth is, when these things happen, it's so much easier just to remember the negative stuff, and then we harp on that and they become even bigger, and then everything they do, like the brushing the teeth, drives you crazy. So if you can kind of sprinkle in some gratitude and think, you know what, I'm going to pledge to recognize the things that my partner does that are actually nice and in the moment, and I'll even tell them. And it might seem corny to say, oh, I appreciate you, or thank you for, you know, even if they are putting their dishes away now, you could say, thank you for putting your dishes away, or thank you for cleaning up the sink. I appreciate that. And when you focus on the positive, it can truly shift the entire energy and tenor of your relationship. This isn't one of those just like paint everything in rainbows and smile and be happy and positive. It's really like, if you think of all the energy you're spending on the negative, you're still with your partner, and I'm sure there's some really great things about them they don't even know that you appreciate. And it's a practice that you realize it truly does shift things and change the energy, and you might even be appreciating your partner way more than you are annoyed with them. My other suggestion is to masturbate mindfully. And we all like knock one out now and then. We have a few minutes. We just want to get off. I get it. We do that. And as you guys know, it's totally healthy to masturbate whether you're in a relationship or not. You know, masturbation feels good. It relieves stress. It keeps our sexual energy going. Like, we feel like our libido's been a little lackluster lately, and we start to have more sex or masturbate than we want more. But the thing about like having a mindful practice around masturbation is that it really expands your sexual confidence. A lot of you ask me questions about, how do I get more confident in bed? How do I feel better about my body? How do I, all these things. And it starts with you knowing actually your own body and what makes you feel good, and having self-awareness around that. And it does build the confidence, because you know, you're like, I know what I need and what feels good. And it teaches about all the potential that your body has for pleasure, because it is limitless. So masturbate without a purpose, without the goal of orgasm. If orgasm happens, that's awesome. But you can explore new ways to touch yourself, shut out distractions, like leave your cell phone in the other room if you can, turn off the TV. And the more you do this, the more like confident you're going to get, the more you're going to feel more in your body, and you'll be able to share with your partner too, all the things that you've learned. And finally, here's another one. How does this resonate with you? Have more connected sex. Well, what do I mean by that? I mean, like, when we get lost in our thoughts and in our minds during sex. It happens to me. It happens to you, because you tell me all the time it does, that we we think about our to-do lists, or there's a noise that distracts us, or we can't believe that, you know, are we going to be done in time because there's something we have to get to, or we're worried about orgasm, and we just get locked in our heads. And we might be physical with our partner, but we're not connected. It's the intimacy's gone, even though you're having sex. Those are two very different things, sex without intimacy. So to enhance intimacy, which I think a lot of us are missing in a relationship, just try going slower. Try going a little bit slower during sex, slowing everything down, and some eye gazing. Gazing into each other's eyes during sex doesn't have to be creepy. It can actually bring you closer and enhance intimacy. So doing a few of these things, like to enhance intimacy, slowing down, looking into each other's eyes, you might find if you look into each other's eyes, like your breath might, you know, synchronize, which is a really cool thing. When you slow it down, breathe, it's kind of this perfect cocktail of connection. And you'll feel like, oh, I do feel more intimate, connected to my partner. I won't feel like we're just, you know, hitting it and quitting it, because we don't want that, right? So think about some of those things as you head into the new year, your new sexual self in 2018, and let me know how it goes. I'm so glad you guys are with me for another year. This is going to be a great one. Thank you, everyone, for supporting our sponsors. We're going to give a quick shout out to them. Thank you, everyone, for supporting them. You're amazing. They love you. I love you. God, we're all so in love. There's such fun things on our site. So check out our sponsors. Thank you for supporting the show. We'll be right back. So, okay, we've got some callers coming up, and I'm really excited to talk to them. And thank you, everybody, for always submitting your questions and for being available for calls. Text me your question to 797979, and all you got to do is text Ask Emily. That's one word to 797979. You'll get a form back, and you can easily fill it out and send your question. You can also do the website, sexwithemily.com, via the Ask Emily tab. And if you'd like to be called, there's a box you can check and say, yes, I would like to be called for the show. And as always, include information that helps me help you, your gender, your age, where you live, and how you listen to this show. And I can't wait to hear from you. Okay, we have Lydia on the phone. She's 29. She's from Missouri, and she's dealing with a lot of family and relationship challenges right now. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, Emily. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Thanks for calling in. How can I help you? Tell me what's going on.
Well, as you just mentally said, I am kind of going through a lot, and I am kind of just wanting to get your advice on, and I know this may seem a silly question to kind of ask, is, just, I'm having a hard time trying to regain kind of a sexual identity with myself and just find the sexual confidence to be able to be confident in the bedroom and just be confident with other partners.
Right. Okay. Tell me the background. Go ahead.
I am recently coming out of a 10-year relationship with my high school sweetheart. We've been married for 5 years, and we've been together for 10. Our history together has been kind of interesting. He was the first person that I was ever in a relationship with sexually, and kind of my first everything into the sexual world. My first background into just being sexual was actually in the work environment when I used to work at Hustler selling sex toys.
Oh, okay.
And the first time I've ever was really exposed deeper into that scene was helping other customers in situations of pleasure and then some of trouble. Okay. And just being able to just fulfill their lives sexually that way.
Okay. And now you find yourself years later in this position?
In the same situation.
Right. Okay. Yes. Well, at least you know that you're going to get through this. You're going to work on it. It'll be okay, because you know how to help people. So that's good. You've got that. So that was like 10 years ago then, or before, when you were in high school, you worked there?
Yes.
Okay. Got it. When did it end with your husband?
It just ended probably like a couple of months ago.
Oh.
It's officially.
Okay.
Things are still kind of pending divorce-wise.
Got it. Okay. So it's still really new. I mean, you're going through the transition. You guys just ended it 3 months, and it's probably been happening for a while, but so know that right now you're in the transition. Tell me more about your sexual identity and like what you're feeling right now, because my first thing is, wow, what a great time for you to get back in touch with your body and what makes you feel good as a woman at 29, you know, whether, and you, all your sexual experience, it sounds like the last 10 years with your husband since you were 19. So a lot happens in those years, right? So my first thing, yes, that's what I would tell you, is to just really focus on getting your confidence back and understanding your body and orgasm and all that stuff. But it sounds like there's some other things as well. Because I don't know that you necessarily need to start dating right now, if that, that's the pressure that's going on, or what are you specifically you struggling with right now?
I think it's just being able to accept the fact that, in a way, I've done nothing wrong. It's throughout my relationship with my ex, it's with him being bisexual and with everything kind of going on, in the sense of we never communicated during sex.
Right.
He never asked me for sex anymore. It just kind of makes me feel like a failure as a woman and as a partner at with being able to provide that special experience. And I know right now I am not ready for dating because I need to focus on myself, since I never personally, this is the first time in my life I focused on myself.
Right, good. Right.
But it just kind of makes me nervous to really explore myself, because I know I just had that one big experience, but it was all throughout my main 20s.
So and your husband was bisexual, and there was some verbal abuse? Is it physical abuse, verbal? To me,
yeah,
it sounds abusive, making you feel like you weren't satisfying him, and you're coming out of this trauma, it sounds like. If 10 years together, and to feel like you weren't able to satisfy him, that's really heavy. And so I'm sorry you had to go through that, Lydia. So I think that there are probably some messaging in your brain right now that, you know, makes you feel less than, even though it's not true. It's, you know, it's still what happened to you. So was there anything else? Was it more like just about sexual satisfaction, not pleasing him? Is there any more background?
Yeah, and just the fact that being able to actually get into the mood sexually, because another thing is that I've been a caretaker all my life. So I've taken care of, you know, my mom with cancer for 2 years, and I took care of my grandmother for Alzheimer's all throughout my high school career while beginning to date him. And I just never had really the sex drive because my priorities were elsewhere.
Right.
I viewed it as sex as a chore. And especially when I used to work at Hustler, I viewed it as work.
Right.
And so trying to rewire my thoughts to allow myself to think that sex can be a pleasurable thing instead of just basically lying there and just letting it just happen and just be there as a body instead of
exactly. Well, I mean, I'm
a person.
Exactly. No, I understand everything. Okay. So this is really like a awakening for you. Sounds like you're having a sexual awakening, or we're going to get you on that path right now. And so I would go back then to my first thought is that you really need to get to know your body, Lydia, and like who you are now. It feels like you might never have gotten to know it. So I feel like a mindful masturbation practice where you're, even without the goal of orgasm, because I don't want you to put any pressure on yourself. And I want you to just, you know, if it's, maybe there were things in the past that turned you on, or maybe like reading erotica or watching porn or thinking thoughts that, you know, make you feel good. Or even if it's just taking a bath, playing music, setting the atmosphere in your house, so you have like a sexy space where you start to just kind of touch yourself again and make yourself feel good. You know, and I would also, you know, get massages right now and surround yourself with people, like with your, get your body moving again. I don't know if you exercise or you, if you do anything like that.
I do. It's been very therapeutic. I do it constantly, like 5-6 times.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. That's so important. So you're already moving, you know, and I would say that you need some breath, some deep breathing and mindful, masturbation where you're just going deep into your body and you are waking it up again. And without the pressure of orgasm, without the pressure of finding a partner, just doing you, like right now is about, you know, I really want you to, like learn the art right now of saying no to, and knowing what the priorities are, because the priority is you right now, and getting Lydia into the healthy adult space where you can go out and start dating again and living your life. I don't know how you learn, or if like if there's certain books or things. I mean, how does that sound to you, first of all, just even touching yourself? Like, is there like a repulsion, or do you feel like you could get into that? How does that track?
No, it's not a repulsion at all. I know the one thing that I know I do need to work on is, I know that I mentioned in the email that usually whenever I need to masturbate, it's just to check to see if it works. And so just very quick and just not being able to actually fully enjoy it. So
right.
The mindful masturbation, I definitely feel I would need to do to reconnect something.
Right. Yeah. No, it is. And you know what? It's like you've gone through this extreme example. There's so many women who I hear from all the time who just, we get so, you know, all of us, we get disconnected from our bodies, whether, you know, we have kids or we're stressed with work or we're, you know, just whatever it is in life, it's the first thing that goes, right? Like with men, oftentimes, like, you know, like they still have their sex drive, but for women, we're literally disconnected. So that's why I'm saying that there's some deep breathing and just feeling into your pelvic floor. Doing your Kegel exercises is literally like not only strengthening your pelvic floor, but it also just wakes up, you know, your whole pelvic floor, your whole region where all the magic happens. So I feel like that's what you got to start with. If you feel like you're kind of doing loops and not feeling great about yourself because your self-esteem has taken a hit, we can't minimize the fact that 10 years with someone and you're hearing these messages and thinking these things about yourself. So I think finding a good therapist and even a sex therapist would be amazing because, a lot, you know, if you do feel like you want to talk about some of the sex stuff, that would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. Along with like with your workouts, like prioritizing this as well, like whatever works once or twice a week. And then it's like, it kind of is like working out, at least for me, it is too. When you masturbate, you want to have more of it. You want to keep having orgasms. You want to. Yeah. So I, again, go slow. You know, it is a, not a marathon, you know, so a sprint. It's not a marathon. I was like, what is that saying? So you just, I would say step by step, take care of yourself. This is a, I think it's going to be a great opportunity and you're going to look back on yourself even a year from now, you're going to make so much progress, but 3 months is not very long for you to be out of it. So I think maybe go back to Hustler, go back to one of the stores, go on our web. You hear me talk about toys on the show all the time and, you know, just find some things that make you feel good. Get some ticklers, some feathers, draw bubble baths and like use all these sensations. I know that kind of sounds cliche sometimes, like, oh, I'm going to do a bubble bath and play some music. But that is like, that's all of our senses. Like, I want you to awaken all of your senses right now because it's all connected to your sexuality. So doing that in your home and then also, you know, talking to someone, seeing a therapist. If you haven't, I think this is ideal time to do it. You don't have to do this all on your own.
I definitely have a therapist. I was thinking about getting a sex therapist to try to be able to focus on those different components of my life.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, I would look into it. I don't know, you're in Missouri. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Where are you? Near St. Louis?
Yes.
I'm trying to think if I know it. Let me think about this and I can have my team circle back if I know someone there, but yeah, I think that you'd be able to find someone there and try to find the help that you need. But again, I just want you to be kind to yourself. And this is a whole new beginning. You're going to do great. Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Emily.
You're so welcome, Lydia. And best of luck to you. And keep me posted.
Thank you. Will do. Okay. Have a good
Bye.
Day.
Bye. You too. Bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Lydia, that's interesting. You know, this call made me think about how whenever we're going through something, when we're in it, when we're in a crisis, I mean, it could be a breakup, a death, losing our job, whatever it is, we have this tendency that we should just feel better already, like a few days, few months. And it really takes time when you're in something like this. And there's just an amazing weight that can be lifted when you take the pressure off yourself without a timeline and you just go back to who you are. And because if we don't put ourselves first and prioritize our own mental health and well-being and sexual health, no one else is going to do it for us. So just remember that, you guys. Go easy on yourselves. Okay, we have Lisa. She's 28 from Australia, and her long-term boyfriend isn't being considerate of her needs in the bedroom. Lisa, I'm so glad we're talking about this. Hi.
Hi, Emily. How are you going?
I'm good. I love that you're in Australia and we get to talk. It's so fun.
I love your show.
Oh, thank you. I love it. Thank you for listening. We have a lot of Australian listeners, so shout out to all of them.
You do.
It's great. Got to come visit. So tell me what's going on. You've been with your boyfriend for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we've always had, I guess, a very healthy sex life. However, more recently, I find that he's becoming a little bit complacent in terms of the foreplay area of sex. So he sort of just going straight in for it rather than, I guess, focusing on some of the kissing, the touching.
Right, the requirements
sort of stuff
that women have. A lot of people have, right?
That's right.
Yeah, okay. And you've talked to him about it.
I have talked to him about it, but I find that it's almost like he forgets. And
right,
I'm sort of stuck with how to sort of guide him through it. I have mentioned it a few times, but I feel like I'm sort of showing him a lot in terms of foreplay that I can sort of do with him to try and show him that I sort of want the same thing from him.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And he's not picking up the clues.
No, he's
right.
not.
Okay. Well, just so you know, that's common. It's really, first of all, let me tell you, everything that you're going through is more normal than not, more common than not. I hear from people who've been together, you know, for a few years, and our relationship, sex lives changes. After you're with someone for up to 2 years, 6 months to 2 years, it's going to take some shifting. So that happens. But also what you're saying right now about trying to show him and he can't read the signs, it's very common with sex because, you know, it's just you're trying to teach him like to change something that he probably feels very confident in many ways. And so it's really, and we all learn differently. Yeah, we'd hope that he'd be like, oh, she's giving me a massage and giving me a 2-hour blowjob. Oh, I should probably go down on her. But no, they're not necessarily thinking that. So I would say that maybe you take some of this like outside the bedroom and have some talks with him where you're talking about do you guys ever talk about your sex life? Like just fun things you want to do or fantasies or what turned you on?
Definitely. We do quite often. But I think for some reason, it always turns into a bit of a joke. And then the serious factor from that sort of disappears and we just have a giggle about it.
Oh, less serious. Right. It gets less serious. Yeah. So okay. Yeah. But it sounds like it's getting pretty serious for you because, you know, we're talking. So, I mean, I think that if there's a way to talk to him, let him know that it's like, I don't know if you guys share your, you say, you know, what really turns me on? Like I fantasize about you or I think about you. You know, when you go down on me, like I, or whatever it is that you need or making out with you or the things that I fantasize about, it's not just that like I want that as a precursor to sex. It's actually part of sex. I mean, we define sex so narrowly, right? Like it's just like PV, mm-hmm. penis and vagina, but sex can be anything. And I think that a lot of couples, you know, I often tell couples when they're struggling with this, and I don't know if you guys are here right now, but taking sex off the table and saying, let's just explore each other's erogenous zones for a month or for a week and say, okay, first week, we can't go below the belt. So let's just massage each other, like take time and discover other erogenous zones, kiss each other's necks, ears, lips, you know, making out and make it fun and playful. Like maybe do some of those things that you've talked about. Get some like, you know, we always talk about like sport sheets makes those like ticklers and they make little like feathers and ticklers and just bring in different sensations and bring in some more play and fun. And I'm not saying you don't have to end it in orgasm. You could. But if you make it like something that you're doing together, how do you think he would react to that?
I think he would take it well. I guess it's just the hard thing for me is to sort of get that serious discussion in without it turning into a bit of a joke for him. So I think that's the hard part for me.
Right. Well, it sounds like I get it. So I think it's like you have to say to him, I feel like we've talked about this and it ends in a joke and it might even do it that time because he probably uses humor, you know, as a deflection, as a way of like, dealing with emotions. So he laughs it off. So, you know, lovingly, again, you don't want this to turn, you know, contentious because talking about sex is really, really tricky. But the good news is like it gets easier over time and you might not nail it this first time you talk to him. But I think it's just like, babe, I love you and I love our sex life and I want to do everything. I love our relationship and I want to do everything I can to like make this work. So I need you to like really listen, you know. And you know what, sweetie, you might have to, Lisa, you might have to have the conversation again too. Like we always expect that we tell our partner something once or twice and they hear us. It's going to change. But you know how behavioral change is a serious thing, right? Like it takes months to learn a new habit or to get into a new thing. So he's going to need some of that. And he also might need to know specifically what you need. Like, I mean, maybe he knows oral sex or kissing, but maybe there's like specific, like showing him like when you kiss my neck or like, I like kissing like that. You know what I mean? Just kind of, it might be more of a demonstration and a talking and keep bringing it up again. And also if he just needs straightforward facts, information, like there are so many studies. In fact, I was just looking at this study that came out for 2017, like the biggest news in sex. And I mean, I've been saying this for years, but women, the majority of women across the board, like require, like have orgasms. They're more likely to orgasm and enjoy sex when they have oral sex, women, not men. And so it's like it's not even like, I feel like you don't have a choice. Like wear a condom. Like you got to go down on your partner. If that's what you need, honey, like that's what you need. So I'm trying to like sugarcoat this because I know that when you're in a relationship, it can be very, I mean, with him, I'm trying to tell you the most softest way to do it because sometimes when we talk about these things, finally, we're so angry and we have so much resentments that we can just say things we don't mean and the whole conversation blows up. So the more you can make sure that you guys are in like, maybe you're out of the house or you're on a road trip or you're hiking or you're at brunch and you're in a really like relaxed space to bring it up where you're feeling playful, and it just kind of comes out as a conversation, and it's not like we talk about it for 10 minutes and it's done, but it's like it's an ongoing dialogue. So I think that you're probably nervous. It sounds like you're a little nervous about it, but I feel like with this information, knowing that it's a process and not a one and done conversation, that it might get a little easier. And then, you know, letting him know that it's really just, it's not going to be, you know, and then if he doesn't listen, he keeps laughing, and then you could be like, this isn't going to happen for him anymore. Like, I can't keep having, I'm not enjoying it. I'm not satisfied because I need these things, you know? So, but I would just, okay.
I love that. That's okay, great. Good. That's so helpful.
Oh, good, Lisa. Let me know how it goes, because you can bring this back together. Just be patient.
Yeah, definitely.
Take your time. It's the year for it. The year
that's very
for
true.
Amazing
and it's just
sex
started, and it's going to be a fresh one.
Exactly, you got
with
this,
lots
Lisa.
Of sex.
Lots of sex, lots of great sex, satisfying sex. You deserve it, Lisa, and go get it. You can
You're
do this.
Lovely, thank you so much.
Bye,
Emily.
Lisa. You are too. Have a great day. Bye.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
Oh, Lisa, she's so sweet. I love our Australian listeners. Okay, you guys, this is the thing. Communication is a lubrication. And what I mean by that is, we got to talk about sex. And I know it's not easy. So that's why I really want you guys to realize that, like, it's okay if you're nervous, your voice shakes, and you have to have the conversation again. But just like everything, the more you do it, the more you repeat it, the different tactics you take, you will get your message across. You will start to have a dialogue with your partner, and you'll know that if it doesn't work, that you have tried everything. But you can't say you've tried it all if you really have not talked to your partner in a way that's effective. So this is the year, you guys. We're all going to have better sex in 2018. Okay, we have Sabrina. She's 26. She's in San Francisco, and she was 6 months into a great relationship, and the guy dropped a bomb on her. I want to hear all about it. Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. You're in my favorite city.
I'm so excited to be talking to you. I just thank you so much for answering my question.
I'm here for you. Tell me the story. Tell me what's going on with the guy.
I'll try and put it all in a nutshell. So I met this boy last fall, and he's a musician, and we were, I guess, want to call it hanging out for about 6-7 months. We never formally had the, you know, what are we doing question. I finally brought it up, you know, was the white elephant in the room for quite some time. And he basically said, you know, like, when I'm away on tour, or you're not around after a show, I'm open to meeting other girls. And he asked me what polyamory was. And, I was,
wait, he asked you, he asked you what polyamory was?
No, he asked, like, if I knew.
Oh, if you knew what it was. Sorry, I heard that wrong. Okay, I was like, what? Oh, okay. So, okay. And
so, and I don't know how to, like, paint the picture, but up until that point, it felt so much like we were headed for something serious.
Okay.
I don't like to be naive or anything, but, he had me fly out to New York to see him perform.
Okay.
I went to the music festival in Las Vegas with him, and he surprised me for my birthday. Hang out all the time. And some of the things that he would say to me were very deep. And
right.
So yeah, it really shocked me. Huh.
I'm sorry.
And then, cut to, first of all, we were several months had gone by, and we were just in like a limbo state because he wasn't sure if maybe he was going to, you know, not do the polyamory lifestyle or I was going to try it. And so I finally just said to him, like, I'm not wired this way. I called him one night and I said, this is like breaking my heart. I can't just keep waiting for you.
Right.
Let's just move on. We want different things. And so it's been maybe that was back in June.
Okay.
And so he's over the course. Reached out like 3 random times. One time he was like, hi, I just got back from a long tour and I'm in town. I wanted to know if you wanted to catch up.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, hi. Like, I don't know what there is to catch up on. Hope you're doing well. I've been a little bit cold.
Okay.
But I just,
so you haven't seen him since June?
Well, no, here.
Okay.
So then the next a month went by, and then he knows that I'm at the farmer's market on Friday. So he just kind of surprised me at the farmer's market.
Ooh.
And was like, you know, hey, and just we caught up on, you know, how we're doing. And then he was like, you know, I hope to see you again soon. And they had a music video that just came out, and there was like, I don't know, a little snippet of me in it. So he showed me that.
Right.
And then another like few weeks went by, and I get like a drunk text from him.
Wait, Sabrina, I've got the picture here. So here's my, I need some clarifying questions for you. When you guys were together for those 6 months before he dropped the polyamory thing, Was he sleeping with people then? Was he saying, well, you know, after the show, sometimes I do sleep with other people? Or was he saying he wanted to in the future? Like, do you have reason to believe he was also seeing other people in that 6 months?
Right. So that was really serious to me. He said at that point, 6 months point, he was open to meeting other people and that he had hooked up with like a couple girls, but he hadn't slept with anyone.
Yeah. Okay. So, right. And you're looking for a relationship right now and you're in San Francisco and he's traveling a lot and he's moving around. And how old is he? You're 26. Is he also 20 something?
He's 31.
Okay. So he's in a band. He's traveling. I'm just telling Sabrina, like, is your question like, what do I do? Should you see him? Should you go back? I'm going to tell you.
My question is, like, I've spent these few months really trying to compartmentalize and moving past, but every time he reaches out, it's like pulling at my heartstrings.
I know, so I, it's like a drug.
Is this his soft pitch of like, should I just sit down with him and see where he's at and see where I'm at? Or should I just be like,
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a lunch with him. Like, I know if you go to drinks, you probably go out, have sex with him, and then you'll probably be set back a few months. We've all been there. Yeah. So if you really can, just like go to lunch because you want to have a real conversation with him and you want to say, listen, I still have feelings for you. You know, you could do that. But I feel like you've come a long way and this guy doesn't want the same things that you want. And he's on the road. He's a musician. It's like musicians, DJs, bartenders, men or women. I'm telling you, like, those are the people in the lifestyle. They're out. They're doing things. He can't be in a relationship right now. He can't be what you want him to be. So your choice is, maybe you can just see him when you see him, you have sex with him, and you still see other people and see how that goes, because that's what he wants, and maybe you'll like it. But if you don't feel like you can do that, that's all it's going to be right now. He's not coming to you saying, I want to be committed. I sincerely doubt that. So,
okay.
And then when he's on the road, you're going to be worrying what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like you probably know your answer by now. He's shown you who he is. So that's what I got to say.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I get this guy. I've dated this guy. I know him. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
We all have.
Yeah.
So, I have women and we're all nodding. So it's like, I get it. And he did this thing for you and he's like a musician and sexy and he did thoughtful things, but you know what you want. And he does, and he misses you, but so you've got your answer.
So these like three random like reach out to me are just like moments of weakness for him. It's not like I should be reading into them.
No, I mean, okay, it's that he misses you. He feels attached to you. He probably really, really likes you to the very best of his ability. Like to the best of his ability, he gets back to the city or he's out at night if he's a drinker. Yeah. Maybe he's had a few drinks. That's when I do texting sometimes that I don't always plan ahead of time for, but you know what I'm saying? Like, and he misses you because you probably are the girl that he's seen the most consistently and misses and all that. That's real. He's not like, not real, but what he can do as a man for you right now and be the full support you need a partner, I'm going to say he's not that guy. So I don't think it's like fake that he misses you and he's texting you, but I don't think it means I'm a changed man. Because if he was a changed man and he was like, you know what, I'm ready for this, he would say, we have to meet. Not like, hey, maybe we'll meet up sometime. He'd be like, let's talk. I'm ready. And that didn't happen.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'd say don't waste your time right now. I'd say keep going. You're a smart, beautiful woman in San Francisco. I can tell. And there are a lot of guys out there. So the more time
that goes by,
the better. Yeah, you're so welcome, sweetie. Yeah. I've been there. You got this. Okay. Take care of you, okay?
Thank you. I will. Happy New Year.
Okay, Happy New Year, sweetie. Have a good one. Bye. So this reminds me of that Maya Angelou quote, when people show you who they are, believe them. You know, all the cards are on the table. People pretty much show you with who they are and what they're about. And a lot of times we just want to change our partners and we want them to be something different, but nobody changes unless they want to. So pay attention to all the signs that are in front of you and accept it. And then you go about your way, but it's okay to want what you want in a relationship and not everyone's always going to fit that bill. Okay. Our next call, we got Garrett. He's 35 from Cleveland and we're going to talk about dating after a long-term marriage, give him some confidence boosters. Hi, Garrett. So good to talk to you.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. I'm so glad you called. Let's talk.
Well, thanks. I'm honored. Just I just started listening to your podcast and it's kind of helped me a lot, kind of cleared things up. So.
Oh, I'm so glad. Let's clear some more. Really, that feels really good. I'm so glad it's helped you. Yeah. So let's go to the next level here. How can I help you today?
Okay. Well, I was in a long relationship. I was married for 12 years. And before I got married, I was very, like, conservative. I mean, basically, like, raised by my grandparents and my mom. And, you know, just to be very conservative. And, you know, it's just I didn't date much except, like, three women for 3 months. And basically, I married, I didn't have any sex experience either. I married a virgin, you know, at 23. So,
Okay.
So yeah, I only knew one woman my whole sex life, you know?
Yeah. That's not very many. Right. Okay. That's one. Right. Okay.
So now I, you know, 12 years of marriage, and, she decided to leave to end the marriage. And, so I'm like, okay, so now I'm like on my own. I'm all new to this. I'm like, okay, I'm in my mid-30s now, and like, what do I do?
Right,
like,
no, this is so good that we're talking.
It's a whole new world.
I know, it's exciting but scary. I totally get it. Garrett, can you tell me why it ended or why she left?
Well, in a nutshell? The legal reason is incompatibility, but I think it was more religious things that had to do with it, and she, it's a really like long...
Okay, is she more religious than you are? Then you were raised?
She certainly is.
Okay.
It was...
Yeah, okay, got it. So it was more like you weren't seeing, your values weren't the same, really?
Well, after there was a big debacle at the church we attended together, and I didn't agree with how they were doing things, so I decided to quit attending, but she continued to attend, and I never gave her a hard time for doing it, and never... act on or anything, always treat her with respect, never argued with her, never fought with her about anything, and then she just decided to finally end it, and I'm like, okay, this is what you want, just let her go. That's all I could do.
Well, I'm sorry. So, that sounds really, really challenging. Yeah. I'm sorry. And it just, when did it end, you said? Just recently?
Just ended about, it was complete in November.
Okay.
So
yeah. Like that's
very, recent.
Very recently. I mean, yeah. Well, it sounds like, this is a whole new world for you. So do you feel like, how was the sex in your marriage? Like,
it was actually, I was more on the wild side and she was more on the conservative side, but the sex was good. I always was really good to her, and well, she never really faked any orgasms with me. I mean, it was always, she never had a problem having orgasms, and basically I was real patient with her, and I would come with her at the same time.
Great.
And I loved to go down, but she was, you know, very conservative about
it.
So I could probably count on one hand as often as I went down.
Okay. So yeah. And you learned that too. Like, cause the good news about going down a woman is like every woman's different. So it's not even so much about like, there's this specific tongue skill you have to do. That's more like paying attention to her body, going slow, you know? So tell me what you're specifically right now, like what kind of things are coming up for you? Like even just like approaching women, or is it more the sex thing, or just how to get back out there? How can I help you kind of make some sense of this?
The first thing is, I'm using like dating apps right now, and I'm making connections, and I've gone on like a couple dates so far, and it's kind of helped boost my confidence, and so that's a thing. But then it's like, okay, I get there and I'm very sociable, but then sometimes I feel socially awkward, and I get, you know, okay, to a point to where someone asks me about what I do, and it's like I'm very geeky and very nerdy about what I do. So,
right, okay, so it's more like you just feel like the conversation is stilted, or like you don't feel comfortable just talking, like sitting and talking. It's that part of it, the date part of it.
I think probably afterwards, the texting, and afterwards it kind of leads off, and I get very busy, and live in a very busy world, and I'm a very busy person, and it's just like, okay, what do we talk about now, you know? And then how do I ask you out for a second date, and what do we want to do?
I
and
see.
Then after that, well, yeah, how do I read them?
Okay,
you know,
I think that you can't.
I'm awkward about that.
No, I got it. No, okay, no, I got a clear picture of it. So I think when you go on these dates, you got to just put yourself in the mindset of you're meeting a new friend, or you're out with when you're out with like new people, or you go out with people from work. You're not thinking about these. You're not like, oh, I don't know what to ask next, because it's a conversation. It's a natural progression of when people are sitting around together. So when you're on a date, everyone's nervous. I understand that. But if you think about it, like, it's really important to be actually a good listener when you're on a date too, and ask questions. So you could even have like things that you want to ask. We all love talking about ourselves, men and women. So, you know, and because I actually think it's an interesting way too to find out like, what's, you know, it's okay to ask, like, so have you been on this app for a while, or what's your, you know, I mean, I always tell, like, it's not great to talk about like your exes on a first date, but I mean, you could just, how long, you know, what do they do for a living? Why do they love it? Are they close with their family? Are they religious? You know, just, or what do they do for fun? You know, I feel like I go on dates, I get asked the same questions, but I don't mind it. They're like, so what do you do for fun, Emily? Or what's your favorite, you know, movies? Or, I mean, it might seem like, oh, that's awkward, but it's really not, because you're trying to get to know someone. So if you just practice a basic basics, like what would I want to know about this person, and ask questions, mm-hmm. and also share about yourself. And I know you said you get geeky mm-hmm. when hearing yourself talk about it. I mean, I think even being self-effacing or being like, I know this is geeky, but, and again, this is a practice too. So just know that dating is like a muscle. And if we don't use it, like you haven't used it for 12 years, like it's going to atrophy, yeah. right? But it's going to come back because yeah. there's muscle memory, right? They're not learning something from scratch. Like you know how to talk to people. You've got a good job. You're a smart guy. You know what I'm saying? So it's really just, yeah. it's very new. It's been a month. So like I'm going to tell everyone, this is my theme for the day. Like go easy on yourself. Don't put much yeah. pressure that you're like, I got to go out. And I say like, go on dates, go to lunches, go to coffees, go to, you know, and really just try to be as present as you can, because I feel like getting out of this marriage, you probably know more about yourself, what attracts you to a person and what doesn't. So, you know, think about things you might want to know about someone. Like if someone's a smoker, like maybe that doesn't work for you, or if they are really religious or their religion is something, you know, whatever it is, like you just yeah. find this out because you're 35 years old and, you know, you just, I don't know. I feel
I'm
like
not getting any younger.
It's not that. No, it's not an age thing.
Into, yeah, I don't want to pressure myself and like into that, but I also want to like, hey, I really want to meet new women right. and meet these people because I never had this opportunity. Because like in my letter is like my friends were, I mean, when I was 18, it's like my friends have already gone out with like 5 or 6 women. They, you know, one or two of them, who knows how many of them got laid, and right. unless, you know, and it's speaking, you know, in slang, but you know, it's like, I'm like, I never got the experience.
Well, right. So you're having your, exactly. So this is, and this is a common thing too. A lot of people are married for a year. They go out and they get back out there again. I think this is going to be fun for you. I think you just got to get over the nerves right now. And so the more that you do it and the more that you practice, and then you'll get to meet people, and I'll bet you'll make some friends too. I mean, I've met, and I know a lot of people have met great people dating online. Like really, like it's not like it's all just sex, or can be if that's what you want. You can have a lot of sex, but you just might meet some interesting people too, or, you know, so I think like this is a really exciting time for you. And I love that you get this time back in your life that you never had. I think it's a really important time because then you get to figure out like what am I attracted to? You might not even know right now because you're the same person. Yeah. And we change so much. Like who you were attracted to 12 years ago at, you know, 22 years old is very different than Garrett at 35. Yeah. So if you just kind of go in with open without expectation that you're looking for the next wife. And when I said you're 35, I meant it more around conversation. Like it's okay to be like, do you want kids, or do you know, what do you want out of life, rather than being like 20? That's what I meant. Not that you're not that there's pressure on you, because I don't want to put any pressure on you at all. Just that you can have these more adult conversations. You know, not that we're not all adults, but it's okay to like, what are you looking for? And if you're just looking to date right now, you let them know, I'm dating. I got out of, you know, it just be honest. And the more honest and the more authentic and the more Garrett you are on every date, the more you are, the more you feel like, oh yeah, I feel like myself. Like how you feel with your friends, the more fun you're going to have and the more confident you're going to be.
Yeah, because that's like, I guess that's what kind of women are definitely looking for, is confidence, you know, and you know, and I am, you're right, I'm exercising that muscle.
Yeah.
And like you said, being married this long, I kind of find out who I want or what I want now, or just try to have more confidence now.
Exactly.
Because, hey, I did it for 12 years.
Yeah.
So why can't I try do this, you know, meet other women, have that, you know.
Do it. Yes, you deserve this time. No, you take this time and have fun with it, right? You don't know. You actually don't know. You literally don't know because you're with one person. So it's okay. Yeah. If you were calling and just saying, I would tell you to do this. I would say, go out, have fun without the pressure, experience other women, hanging out with them, what you like, and you're gonna feel better in a few months once you get out there and start doing it. But again, just know that it's going to get a lot easier. And women do like confidence, but we can also tell, you know, you seem like a really nice guy and a thoughtful guy, and you were married for 12 years. Like to me, like as a woman, like that's really attractive. You know what I'm saying? That you were able to be in a relationship. People think that there's such a stigma with divorce. And I feel like that it's actually really a sign of someone who's responsible and can kind of be an adult and have a relationship. So I think that women can find, a lot of women are the right kind of women, I think maybe that you'd want, would find that attractive. So I wouldn't worry you that that's like this mark against you that you've been married. I think that's a badge.
That's kind of what I was nervous about. You know, it's like, I've been married 12 years and you're also in a divorce. And I'm like, I don't want to go far into detail about
this. No, because, this is what you say, Garrett.
I don't want to.
No, listen to me. And I'm telling you, sure, there might be women who judge you. Those aren't your women. So fine. Those women are done.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, Garrett, you say when they say, I was married for 12 years and we got married young, whatever you want. I don't think you need to get into it and just say, you know, we got married young. We changed. And, you know, it's we decided to end it. So I think anyone can understand that. Done. No detail. I mean, I just pressed you for details because I didn't know, but no one else needs to know. Not right now, on the first date, and you're not hung up on it and you're moving on. You know, it's they don't need that. That's what you say. And proud. Yeah, it was a great marriage. I still like her. Whatever it is. I like her family or whatever. But we decided to, you know, we met young. That's what you do. And so just, and this is going to be practice. You're going to get your lines down. You're going to get it, you know, you're going to feel comfortable with this. So you got this, Garrett.
Okay. I feel like monk on the first date, you know, just have my cards ready. And
what'd you say? You're what? Like a monk?
Like Adrian Monk, you know, I don't know if you remember watching the series Monk. He had all of his flashcards ready. He was like, what's the next question?
No, I was actually, it's funny. I didn't see it on there, but I know guys who literally have their notes on your phone and they have questions. Like if you get nervous, you can go to, I mean, I don't know. Do we have first date dating questions on our website? We probably do. Or, you know, I mean, literally just because you get nervous and you can't remember things. It's nothing wrong with having some things you want to talk about or some funny, you know, story. If you saw a movie, you could, on the way to pick her up, practice telling the story about what you liked about the movie. You know what I'm saying? Just, that's not cheesy. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have some material ready to go and you'll feel better too. Okay, Garrett?
Yeah.
You got this. Yeah. Okay. Good luck to you. It's going to all happen.
Thank you.
Let it unfold.
Thank you so much, Emily.
You're so welcome.
I appreciate you calling me. So,
of course. Yeah. So good. Yes. I think I feel good about this, Garrett. Have a great day.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Too.
Hey, you guys, you got to remember that dating is, it's a skill. It's a practice. And it really is like exercising a muscle. And I think that no matter where you're at in your life, dating without an end goal of like, yeah, you might know you might want to get married and have kids or, you know, you're moving or whatever it is. I feel like just to kind of be present in the moment with this person, how do they make you feel? Was it a good time? Are you learning information would you want to be friends with this person rather than like getting in your head about all this stuff, which we all do anyway, but try to take yourself back down to earth. Know that just another human who's probably nervous like you and just have a conversation. Take a lot of deep breaths. And I'm totally cool with having cheat sheets. That was fun, you guys. I love talking to you. God, I love the call shows. I hope you are all going to send me a question right now and say you want to be called because I could do these every day. I really could. I would. But thank you everyone for listening, for supporting the show. Thank you for subscribing on iTunes and reviewing the show. That's awesome. And we've got a lot of podcasts. You can check them all out at sexwithemily.com/podcast for our entire show archive. There are more than you even see on iTunes. Can you imagine that? 13 years shows. You can also find it at Sex with Emily in iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Thanks for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.